Blog Talk Radio.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling off my ear, the thoughts of God disclose.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope you're all doing well. We had a great service yesterday, a wonderful, wonderful service, and a wonderful, wonderful church picnic. I hope everyone enjoyed themselves yesterday. Well, we're back at it again. We're talking about Deborah's mothers in Israel arise. Deborah's mothers in Israel arise. Our scripture text comes from Judges chapter 5, verse 7, and it reads, "The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose, a mother in Israel." Let us pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We praise your name. We honor you, Lord. And we look forward to this week of candid introspection and discussion. We pray, Lord, that through this series, you would speak to all of us, but especially the Deborahs at Grace Christian Church. We thank you, Lord, because in our ranks is not just one Deborah, but many. Grace Christian Church is blessed to have so many Deborahs. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, and we look forward to their exploits in years to come. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, guide us to all truth, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. As I was being prompted by the Holy Spirit last week to continue in the book of Judges, we spoke about Deborah and Jael being two heroic women. Of course, Deborah, the professional woman, mightily used of God, and then Jael, the housewife, the homemaker, who was equally mightily used of God. The professional woman God used to start the battle, to pick the fight. And God used the housewife, the homemaker, to give the final knockout blow to the enemy to end the fight. It was a woman who started the fight, and it was a woman who ended the fight. And so I believe it will be today. We're looking at Deborah. We're going to not spend a lot of time talking about her per se like we did last week, but to highlight a few things about her ministry that all mothers have in common. Deborah says that she is a mother in Israel, or a mother in the church. When I was growing up in the church so many, many years ago, my church was loaded with church mothers, real church mothers. I can remember so many of them, so many great women in the church that I went to in my boyhood. So many of my friends had great moms. And not just great moms in the sense of homemaker moms, but great moms in the sense that the women were spiritual, spiritually minded. Women sold out for God. Women dedicated to their families, their marriage, and the church, and to the saving of the lost. I'm convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that the church will not make it if the Deborahs do not arise. If the Deborahs remain passive, if the Deborahs choose to sit on the bench and not arise, it will be curtains for the church. I want to talk to you today a little bit about motherhood. Now, I'm sure that some of the sisters are going to say, Pastor can't talk to us about motherhood. Pastor's never carried a baby. Pastor's never been pregnant for 9 months. Pastor doesn't know what it is to be a mother. You're absolutely right. I am not trying to teach you something that you know by experience, because all I have in my head is theory. All I have in my head are facts. But I know what a real mother is. I know what a real spiritual mother is. And so let's look at a few definitions here from a few good sources, and let's talk about motherhood, or what it is to be a mother by secular standards and by biblical standards. Motherhood, Monday, July 18th. Motherhood If you go to a secular dictionary like the Oxford Dictionary of the Current English Language, this dictionary was published in 2005. It's a third edition of this dictionary, and the third edition was printed in 2005, which means it was printed 17 years ago, long before all of this gender crazy nonsense that's in our society today. So back in 2005, if you were to ask someone, what is a mother? They would say, one, a female parent. A female parent. Not too long ago, they asked a woman who was a candidate for the Supreme Court of the United States, what is a woman? And the woman wouldn't answer the person up for the position at the Supreme Court, who, by the way, got voted into the Supreme Court. She wouldn't answer what is a mother. What is a woman? She would not answer the question. She danced around the question. That's how depraved things have gotten. Well, back in 2005, there was no ambiguity as to what a mother was. A mother is a female parent. Two, mother is applied, especially as a title or a form of address, the head of a female religious community. Like, for example, in the Roman Catholic Church, the person in charge of a nunnery where nuns live is called a mother superior. So, again, two, and of course this is a secular dictionary, it's not a Bible dictionary, secular, two, mother, especially as a title or form of address, the example being mother superior, the head of a female religious community. Now, to be motherly, motherly means relating to or like a mother, especially in being caring, protective, and kind. That's the best that I could get out of the compact Oxford Dictionary of the Current Language. Now, the Bible has many shades of meaning for the term mother. So exhaustive is the Bible. So precise is the Bible that unfortunately we do not have the time to cover all those definitions of motherhood in the Bible. But I just want to give you a few. For example, coming to us from Robert Harker's great concordance and dictionary, he has this short definition for mother. Mother, as a woman who brings forth a child, is by virtue of it immediately called a mother. The scripture text for this is Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, and it reads, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So, what is a mother? A mother is a woman who brings forth a child, and because of this is by virtue of it, because she conceives a child and carries a child and nurtures a child in her womb until the 9 months, and then she bears the child and gives birth to it, immediately following, she is called a mother, a mother. Now, the next definition comes to us by means of John Brown's Bible Dictionary. And he writes, a mother who have brought forth a child. This scripture reference in Exodus chapter 2, verse 8. Let's go there quickly. Exodus 2, 8. This is when baby Moses is put in the basket and placed on the Nile River to float down the Nile. And he happens to float to where Pharaoh's daughter is. And Pharaoh's daughter wants to adopt the child, and she says, this is what she says in verse number 8. And Pharaoh's daughter said to little Miriam, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. So, as a woman who brings forth the child is virtually called a mother like Eve was, so is Moses' mother called the mother because she gave birth to him. And the maid went and called the child's mother, the one who gave birth to him. But then, John Brown goes on to say, to any female superior in age, station, or another word for station is office, gifts or grace, or who deals tenderly with one. Now, let's go to Genesis 37, because this is an interesting passage of scripture. In Genesis 37, verse 9, Joseph is relating, 17-year-old Joseph is relating a dream to his father Jacob. And Joseph dreamed yet another dream, and he told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And then Joseph told the dream to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? So now, who is this woman whom Jacob calls Joseph's mother? Joseph's mother died in childbirth. She died giving birth to her second son, Benjamin. So who is this mother? There's no contradiction in the account. The Bible clearly states that Joseph's real mother, Rachel, died giving birth to Benjamin. So who is this person that Jacob, his father, refers to Joseph as his mother? That's none other than Leah, his aunt, his mother's older sister. To the definition, right after Exodus 2:8, to any female superior in age, station, gifts, or grace, or who deals tenderly with one, as Leah, who was not Joseph's birth mother, but who became his adoptive mother, that is his mother. And of course, Deborah was a mother in Israel with tenderness and valor. She judged, instructed, and governed that people. That's John Brown's dictionary. Now, as I said in the beginning, the church will rise and fall based on what? Well, of course, God's favor. But in a more practical sense, when you look at the Bible, when you look at biblical history, empires rise and fall. Churches rise and fall based on mothers. How does a nation raise an army? How does a nation get its soldiers? It gets its soldiers, its tens of thousands of soldiers, by means of the mothers in that nation. So to the church. The church will rise and fall on its mothers. If we have weak church mothers, the church will die out. If we have strong mothers, the church will thrive and be victorious. Now, let's read the text again. Judges 5:7. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose a mother in Israel. You see, the people of Israel went into hiding. The people in Israel were so afraid of their enemies that you would never see anyone in the streets. People would sneak around because they were so fearful of the Canaanites. They were so fearful of coming under the hand, the rule, the judgment, the punishment of the Canaanitish people that you could not find an Israelite in the street. When they moved around in secret. They moved around quietly. They did this with great care. Why? Because if they were caught out in the open, they were easy pickings for the enemy. That ended. That came to a close. That ceased. The moment Deborah came on the scene. When Deborah came on the scene, the people of God feared no more because she was a special kind of mother. You look at society today. Where's the church today? The church is in hiding. You hardly ever hear of the church anymore in society. Well, you do when the church is caught up in a scandal. When the church is caught up in a scandal, all the news agencies will report on it. They'll report on the preacher, the pastor, whatever, the clergyman who did this or who did that, who stole, who molested, and rightly so. But you do not hear of a church militant. What we have today, generally speaking, is the church of milsops. Of the church in hiding, the church afraid to speak, the church afraid to take a stand, the church afraid to confront sin, a church afraid to confront evil men, corrupt men, the church afraid. But that will end. That will end when the mothers of the church arise and begin to train their children. Listen. Mothers are so important. Mothers are so important that even Satan knows the importance of motherhood, and Satan has mothers. If you go to the book of 1 Kings, in 1 Kings, you read about that wicked woman Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, and her wicked offspring. Boy, did that woman produce some wicked offspring in her two sons and her one daughter. But then you read in Revelation about Thyatira Jezebel and how her children were so wicked, her spiritual children were so wicked that Jesus himself said, I will kill them. That's Revelation 2:20 and 23. Thyatira Jezebel had her spiritual children. She birthed them in the spirit. And they were so wicked. They were so evil. They were such polluters. And they would not repent that Jesus says, I will kill her children with death. In Greek, the word death is plague. I will kill them by means of a plague. I will plague them and they will die. They will drop dead as they stand. I will kill them with death. That's Jesus. You see, even Satan needs women to spiritually birth a generation to get his work done. You know, in Revelation chapter 17, the harlot church, the apostate church, is called Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. And to counter that, to counter a Thyatira and Jezebel, the Lord's church has wonderful mothers, such as the elect lady in 2 John chapter 1, verse 1 and 4. The elect lady is a female pastor of a house church, and she too has children. And John commends her and her children for properly and honorably representing the Lord in the community in which they live. So yes, Satan has his Jezebels. God has his elect lady and her children. Satan has a mystery Babylon. Well, God also has his church. Let's go to Galatians 4. Galatians 4, 26. And Paul writes, but Jerusalem, which is above, in other words, there's a heavenly Jerusalem, not the earthly Jerusalem, not the Jerusalem in the Middle East, where so much fighting has taken place in the city of Jerusalem over the centuries, so much bloodshed in the city of Jerusalem. Paul isn't referring to that Jerusalem. No, there's a heavenly Jerusalem. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. That's the church. That's the church. The church is the mother of all born again believers. The same way Mystery Babylon is the mother of all apostate sinners. The Jerusalem from above has in her ranks those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Mystery Babylon has on the forehead of her children written the number 666. You see, my brothers and sisters, there's a war that's been going on for centuries, for thousands of years, the war between good and evil, God and Satan, God's people and Satan's people. And how did all these people come into existence? Mothers. And whenever the mothers in the church have been strong, the church has been invincible. Whenever the mothers in the church have been weak, the church has been weak. Everything rises and falls on motherhood, on mothers. Mothers are special. This is why Satan targets them. This is why Satan hates women. This is why Satan loves abortion. Think about it. Why does Satan love abortion? Because he stops a mother from being a mother. That's why Satan promotes abortion. Because here's a woman who has conceived and she's carrying a child, and then she's convinced to take that child's life. When she does that, she has aborted motherhood. She's no longer a mother, but a murderer. My brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that you would spiritually pray for this series and that you would come prepared, especially the Women of Grace Church. To all the Women of Grace Church, call your friends. Tell them about this series. Tell them, hey, let's find out what we are in the Lord, kind of an impact we can have on a future generation. Tune in tomorrow, saints. I love you all. Don't forget tomorrow, is our prayer meeting. We are starting with the Charles Finney book, Chapter 1, Charles Finney Tomorrow, Chapter 1. Tune in tomorrow at 6:55 p.m. Get on there 5 minutes early, 10 minutes early. This way, you know, when Sister Linda Hart starts to teach, we don't have to hear any interruptions, any bells, any announcements, none of that. Try to get on a few minutes early. We would greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. I love you in the Lord. We will see you tomorrow. God bless.
Hear thy children.